אוקיי, אני מניח שבזמן שלא הייתי שגמרתם את הפרק, כן? אז בואו נעיר כמה הערות על הגמרא כאן בדף י' עד עמוד א' עד ת' ו' עמוד א'. באמצע י' עד עמוד א', הנה גינוי דעובד חושבנה בהדי הדודי. כלומר, יש לנו כאן מקרה שהשתמשו בקניין של ממד שלושתן, גם קניין סודר, והגמרא אומרת שאפשר לבטל את זה על ידי טעות. כלומר, שאם היה טעות, אז הקניין לא חל. קניין בתוס הוא, וכל קניין בתוס חוזר. תוס תוס כאן, דיבר מסכו ולא פוש, מאיר, פירש בנו חננל וחרם בנו תם, שהיו בעלי הדינים מודים לו, או שהיה דבר ידוע בעידוס ברורה, דלא פוש גבי מידי. כלומר, הטעות היה משהו מוסכם. It was an agreed upon טעות, אז אנחנו אומרים שהכל חוזר. משמע מדבריהם, דמינפשי, אין נאמן לומר תאיסי במה שהודיתי, אף אגב דאיסלי מיגו, דיבו יאמר חזרתי ופרעתי. כלומר, שאם אדם טוען, שהוא טעה, הוא פשוט טעה בחשבון, made a mistake, ויש לו מיגו שהוא היה יכול לטעון שהוא פרה, אז הוא לא נאמן. הסיבה היחידה שהוא נאמן בסוגייתנו זה בגלל שבעלי הדינים מודים לו, שכולם מסכימים שהיה כאן טעות, אבל טענת טעות, אפילו אם יש מיגו, אז אינו נאמן. השאלה היא בדיוק למה. סוף כל סוף, מיגו זה דין של נאמנות. לבעל דבר יש נאמנות אם יש לו מיגו. מה כאן מפקיע את המיגו שאנחנו נגיד שכאשר הוא טוען טעיתי, אנחנו לא נאמין אותו במיגו שהוא יכול להגיד פרעתי. נו, איך הבנתם? מתי אנחנו אומרים שמיגו מתבטל? What can override a מיגו? עדים. ומה מקביל לעדים? What's parallel to עדים? ענן צעדי. כלומר, שמיגו זה נאמנות של בעל דבר, זה משהו מאוד חשוב, אבל עדות זה נאמנות יותר מעולה. It's a better level of נאמנות. וכאשר יש ענן צעדי, כאשר יש מצב שכאילו אנחנו עדים, אז מיגו במקום עדים, מיגו בענן צעדי זה כמו מיגו במקום עדים. מה כאן הענן צעדי? What ענן צעדי overrides the מיגו? Of, if you say, ta'a, ta'aminu li b'migo, sh'ayiti yachol ha'gid, hechzarti.
People are careful before they...
Yes, כן, כלומר, שיש כאן עניין שלא, אנחנו לא מניחים שמישהו היה מודה לולי שהוא בדק את עצמו 1,000 פעמים. People generally are not מודה unless they check themselves out, ולכן יש כאן ענן צהדי נגד המיגו, ענן צהדי נגד הטעות, אז המצב היחיד שהוא יהיה נאמן כאשר הוא טוען טעה, זה אם יש עדות על הטעות או שיש הודעת בעל דין מצד הבעל דינים האחרים שהיה כאן טעות. טוב, זו נקודה ראשונה. נקודה שנייה, איתמר, הולך מונה לפלוני שאני חייב לו, אמר רב, חייב באחר יוסו ואם בו לחזור אינו חוזר. שמואל אמר, מתוך שחי באחר יוסו, אם בא לחזור, חוזר. אז גמור אומרת, רימה בהוק המפלגי, מר סבר הולך כזכי דמי, ומר סבר הולך לאו כזכי דמי? לא. כולי אלמה הולך כזכי דמי. הוכה בהוק המפלגי. מר סבר לא אמרין על מיגו, ומר סבר אמרין על מיגו. עכשיו כאן המיגו זה לא המיגו הרגיל, כן? כן, יש כאן... אחד סובר שכיוון שהוא לא יכול לחזור בו, אז כבר, כיוון שהוא יכול לחזור בו, אז אינו חייב באחריותו. סליחה. שמואל סבר, מתוך ש... מיגו, כלומר זה דין של מתוך. כיוון שהוא חייב באחריותו לכן הוא יכול לחזור בו. ומר סבר, אף על פי שחייב באחריותו, הוא לא יכול לחזור בו. מה כאן המחלוקת? מה כאן המחלוקת כאן בין רב לבין שמואל? כלומר, לפי שניהם, הנותן הוא עדיין חייב באחריותו, ולכן לפי צד אחד, אם בא לחזור חוזר, לפי צד שני, אף על פי שהוא בא לחזור, אינו חוזר. בואו נתחיל מהנקודת של קורי אלמה. קורי אלמה הולך כזכיד עמי. כן? שכאן כל אחד מסכים שכאשר הוא אומר הולך מן הזה, זה כאילו הוא אמר זכה במן הזה. אז יש כאן עניין של הולך כזכי. יש כאן עניין של זכן לאדם שלא בפניו. כן? זה כל אחד מסכים, זכן לאדם שלא בפניו. ובכל זאת יש מחלוקת עם כיוון שהוא חייב באחריות, אם הוא יכול לחזור בו, אינו יכול לחזור בו. מה כאן קורה? בוא נחשוב לעצמנו, איזה חקירה הייתה לנו בדין של זכין לאדם שלא בפניו? איך זה פועל? What's the mechanism of זכין לאדם שלא בפניו? מה אומר רשי? ומה סובר הקצות? מה היה המחלוקת שראינו בזכין לאדם שלא בפניו? איך זה פועל? לפי רוב הראשונים, אנחנו אומרים זכייה מטעם שליחות. מה פירוש זכייה מטעם שליחות? רשי אומר, אם אתם זוכרים, שיש כאן ענן סהדה. זה כאילו, כן, אם הלווה אומר לאותו אדם, תהיה שליח להולכה, זה כאילו המלווה כבר הופך אותו לשליח לקבלה. ענן צעדי זה כאילו המלווה ממנה אותו. לזכותו, כן? ולכן אינו יכול לחזור בו, כן? מה שאין כן לפי הקצות, מי ממנה אותו כשליח לקבלה? התורה. התורה. כלומר, השאלה היא אם יש כאן ענן צעדי זה שכאילו המלווה ממנה אותו, או התורה ממנה אותו. So let's try and see, should there be a difference between these two approaches in our situation? מה יגיד שמואל? שמואל כאן אומר, מתוך שחייב באחריותו, אם בא לחזור, חוזר. מתי אנחנו אומרים שיש ענן צהדה שמלווה הופך שליח להולכה לשליח לקבלה? כאשר זה לזכותו. When it's something that pays for him, it's something which is for his gain. אבל כאן, יש עליה וקוץ בו. יש כאן, כלומר, ברגע שאנחנו אומרים שאותו אדם נהפך לשליח לקבלה, אם הוא נאנס, if something happens on the way, אז המלווה יפסיד את הכסף שלו. כן? שהחיוב אחריות חל על השליח, ולכן זה לא לגמרי זכות. אם זה לא לגמרי זכות, אז מה יוצא? So what would be? Would we say a non-sahade is something which is not a zchut? No. So it means that there's no meaning at all. כמו ששמואל אומר, that the moment we have over here a chiyuv achrayut, the moment we have over here something which goes against the malveh, so there's no zachin radam shal befanav. There's no zachia. So that's what Shmuel says. Mitoch shechayav ba'achriyuso im rotza lachzor choser. Namely, that we say that there has been no kinyan on the side of the malveh. It can be returned. The same way that the lova gave the money, he can take it back. He made a shliach halacha, he can take it back. This shliach halacha, we have a din of ten kizchi. That's only if it's a zchus. But over here, kevan shechayav b'achur yusa, there's no zchut. So Shmuel says that the moment that we have something that goes against the zchut, we're going to override the din of ten kizchi. B'chol ha-Torah kula will say ten kizchi. That's in the case of zchut. But in our case, kevan shechayav b'achur yusa, im rotza lachzor chozer. Ma she'en kein lefi rav. How would Rav override the problem that Shmuel saw? נכון. כלומר, אם אנחנו נגיד לא, ברגע שיש לנו מצב של זכות התורה ממנה, כלומר, אז לכן, אם רוצה חוזר, אינו חוזר. הוא לא יכול לחזור בו. The Torah appointed this individual as a שליח הקבלה of the Malva. I the אחריות? נכון. שיהיה כאן חייב אחריות. כן? אמר רב, חייב באחריות, so, אבל אם בו לחזור, אינו חוזר. In other words, that if we're dealing with an anansahadei, then the moment that we have over here any issue of a chova, there's no longer an anansahadei. But if we're going to say that we have a rule that the Torah is going to appoint a shliach in areas that are zchut, so yitachem, we can have a situation where on the point of zchut, there'll be a shliach. On the point of chova, that will remain. Namely, that the Torah doesn't have to work with an anansahadei. The Torah's din of zachin radam, holech kizchidam, if zachin radam shall be fun of on those aspects that are zechut. Kama she yitachem, שכאן המחלוקת בין רב ושמואל, זה המחלוקת איך להבין את הדין של זוכן. אם זה מינוי של ענן צהדי, אז ברגע שיש לנו חוב, כבר אין ענן צהדי. אם זה מינוי של התורה, אז על הזכות יש מינוי, והחוב, in other words, זה נשאר החייב התוליטן, זה נשאר האחריות, נשאר האחריות. Everyone would agree that if we had a situation that was full זכות, we would say, הולך כסחי. What's Rashi's example of a situation which is a full zchut? Okay, Rashi hachi garsin on komar ba'alma holech kischi dame. V'im hayu b'matana d'leka achrayus modesh mu'al deino chozer. If we would have a case which would be a full zchut, then we would have an anan sahadeh. The anan sahadeh, according to Rashi, would be a case of matana. Ba'atos vodkan. V'u'a meyer perish b'kuntris im hayu b'matana d'leka achrayus modesh mu'al deino chozer. Ve'ein nira, de b'matana ein holech kischi kide perashtis la'el. We're in the kvar she yesh tosfot she matchil b'daf yud aleph med beiz lemata v'holech adaf yud beiz med aleph she sham tosfot mevi medakdek rabbeinu tam she yesh hevdel bein matana le milve v'pikadon v'shichur eved v'chulei she matay anachno rim tein kischi anachno rim etze b'milve b'pikadon ובשחקור עבד. אבל במתנה, אנחנו לא אומרים, תן כסלי. That's Tosus pointed out on דף יד בייזם את א'. היו לתוסס שם שתי ראיות. ראיה אחת מגמר אחר כך בדף למד בייז, עמוד בייז. אמר שליח מתנה כשליח גט, הולך רב כסלי, either in גט nor in מתנה. וגם הסוגיה שלנו, בדף יד דלן עמוד בייז, הסוגיה מביאה את הדעה של רבי שמעון נשיא, כן? רבי שמעון הנשיא, ורבי שמעון הנשיא הוא קובע שאם מדובר על בריא, שאנחנו לא אומרים הולך כסחי. במתנת בריא לא אומרים כולי אלמה לא פליגי, שלא אומרים הולך כסחי. אז יש לנו ראיה שבמתנה לא אומרים הולך כסחי. במלווה ובפיקדון ובשטר שחרור אז כן אומרים הולך כסחי. אז תוספות אומר, יש לומר שכשפטרו מלווה בן האחריוס, או בגט שחרור, מודש מול דיינו חוזר. כן, כלומר צריכים להעמיד את זה בהוקימתה, שמלווה, או שטר שחרור, או פיקדון, שזה יהיה זכות גמור. Why distinguish? No, just review over here. What's the reason we would distinguish? Why would we say הולך כסחי in a מלווה, and a פיקדון, and a שטר שחרור, but we wouldn't say it in the world of מתנה? We saw, if you recall, a machlokas rishonim. We saw Rabbeinu Tam on daf yud beis amid aleph, and we saw a Tosfos Rid on daf yud dalet amid beis. You remember either the shitot?
Yeah,
that
there's
the
Tosfos Rid says that there's a already a chiyuv owing to the makabel, so there's a stronger chiyuv.
Right. In other words, when we have a situation where there is a chov. There is an obligation to return a pikadon, an obligation to return a halvah, an obligation to an eved, she'en adam ha-shechur avdo olam kenasa lo nachat ruach, that there's a certain moral obligation. Either when there is a monetary obligation or a moral obligation, as anachnu omdim et ha-da'at shel ha-notein. Ha-notein rotze le-kayem et ha-chzarat ha-chov. Ha-notein hu rotze liot v'seder. אז לכן הוא רוצה שזה כמה שאפשר יהיה בידי המקבל. אז הולך כסחי, הולך כסחי, כבר כאשר זה בידי השליח, זה כבר ביד המקבל, ואם רוצה לחזור אינו חוזר. אבל כאשר אדם נותן מתנה, זה מיוזמת הנותן. There's nothing over here that's pushing the individual to give a matana. It's something which is purely voluntary. In such a situation, as אנחנו אומרים, שרק ברגע האחרון זה מגיע למקבל. Only when it gets to the Makabel's hands, then it's going to be his. We don't give it to him beforehand. Namely that we're going to push things forward as much as possible when there's an obligation. When there's no obligation, we push things off as much as possible. It's like if someone gives a donation to a yeshiva, right? And they say, well, you know, when should we take the money? Oh, you know, what's the last date possible that you can get the money? Okay, that's what I'll give. I want to give the money. But also, you know, I'd rather it stay by me as long as possible. Mashenken, in terms of a payment of a loan, a payment of a pikadon, or shichur eved, that's as soon as possible. Zeh Rabbeinu Tam. Aval HaTosos Rid, hisbir acheret. What did the Tosos Rid say? If you recall, he spoke about a... Matzav tiv'i, you know, something that is a natural state of being. Natural state of being, where does the halva'a belong? In the hands of the malva. Natural state of being, where does the pikadon belong? In the hands of the balabayit. In a natural state of being, what should be the status of an eved? Should be free. Okay? As the natural state of being is that we have currently a inequality. We have a situation which is unnatural. That a pikadon is in the hands of a shomer, that a halva is in the hands of a lova, that an eved, you know, that an individual is in a state of avdus, and so we move things as much as possible quickly back to the natural state of being. Mashenken a matana. What's the natural state of being of a matana? Could be by the nosen, could be by the kabel. In other words, by matana, there's nothing pulling in this direction or that direction. So then we push that off as long as possible. The difference is that Rabbeinu Tam clearly is using an umdana, omed daat, that we are looking into the daat of the nosen, what he probably wants. Mashenkin, the Tosus Rid, is dealing with the halacha, what the halacha would want, that the halacha would set up a din of horech kischi to rebalance the world. But if there's not a question of rebalancing the world, it's just a question of moving something from A to B, then there wouldn't be a din of Holech Kisri. Holech Kisri was instituted in order to redress problems, in order to redress a lack of equilibrium. Once we get back to the state of equilibrium, then there's no need for Holech Kisri. Okay? Those were the two deyot that we saw. Are you okay, Reb Lech? Okay? Okay, then there's no need for a hoch kisri. It's very dry. You should drink a lot. Okay, zo nekuda shlishit. Okay, so first we saw the din of that a kinyan b'ta'ut, that there's no din of migo. It's migo makom edim. Then we saw the machlokas Rav and Shmuel could very well be a machlokas in the nature of zochin. Is it a din of minui of the Torah or minui of an ansahadeh? And over here, in terms of Tosus Shita, that there's no holech kischi by a matana, we have two explanations. Okay. Then the Gemara continues and points out that in a case of pikadon, how can we say holech kischi? Don't we have a rule of ein ritzoni she pikdoni biyad acher? How can we say ein ochozer? Amar bizera kashuch zakafra. Okay, if the mishreach is a kafran, anyone is going to wish that the pikadon be in anyone else's hands but the Mishaleach. Rav Sheshes Havele Asharta Desarbele B'mechuza. Amalei go Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Bahadei Deosis, you're going there anyway. Aisinu Nihili. Ozal Yavinule. Amrile Nikni Minach. So the Mishaleach told Rav Yosef, I want you to take Achrayus. Amalei, yeah, I'll be happy to take Achrayus. Aval B'sof Ishtamet Lehu. V'kiyasa l'gabei, amalei shapir avdis delo shavis nafshach eved lova li'ish malve, lish nachmina shapir avdis eved lova li'ish malve. Komar kan Rav Sheshet ve'etzem pasak kamo Rav. Komar sheberega sheze nitan la shaliach az alpidin eno chozer, ולגבי האחריות, אז הוא התחמק מהאחריות. זה בסדר. כלומר, שבעצם שפיר עבדס, שלא שיבדת עצמך לחינם, כי יש כאן דין של... שיש כאן דין של זוכן, אתה זוכית בשבילי. אז תוספות שאל כאן, משמע בדין לא היו יכולים לקוף או להחזיר. אף אגב, דלא הוכסחו כפרונים, I have a problem of אין רצון שאי פקדוני ביד האחר, היינו משום דה באמס היה שהוא שלוחה. Therefore, למוצי אומר, אין רצון שאי פקדוני ביד האחר, this is not an אחר, this is שלוחה. But Tosos was pushing to this because he learned this as a case of pikadon. What did Rashi understand? Asharta hakofa shenosan sarbalim ba'ashray latet lo hamaot lizman kavua. What was the situation going to Rashi? It was a case of halva. Case of halva. There's no need to get into the world of huksa kafra in terms of einu mitzana shepikdona biyadacher. Rashi had no need to get involved in this situation at all. You don't have to put Rav Yosef as a shliach. He wasn't a shliach. He was simply told. Not that he was appointed as a shliach, but simply he was asked to do a favor and to be zoch. Okay, so we have machlokes over here between Rashi and Tosfos as to what is the case. That's the way the Maharam in the back understands the machlok that Tosfos is assuming. We have over here pikadon aval lav davka. Okay, then we have another situation which is very unusual. Rav Achi, Rav Yoshi, Havilei, Ispika de Kasped ben Harda. Same story. Amar Lohulu Rav Dustoy, Rav Yana, Rav Yossi, Bar Kippar, Bahari Dasisu, Asuya Nielei. And they were asked also to take Achrayas. Amri Lei, well, they decided they don't want to take Achrayas. Amar Lohu, the people who in whose hands it was, Ahadra Nihalan. So Rav Dostoy said, fine, take it back. And Rav Yossi said, chas v'shalom. And then he got all beaten up. And Rav Dostoy said that it was a wonderful thing that got beaten up. And then they went back to complain to Rav Acha. And Rav Acha was asked what was their nature. And they were told that these were hooligans. And they were krovim l'malchus. And he said, ihachi shapir avdus. Okay, what's going on over here? We have machlokas amorai. We're talking about Rav Dostoy and Rav Yossi. What was their machlokas, right? One of them felt that, this is something that should be returned, even though al pidin we paskin holech kisri, and the other felt no. In other words, we yikov hadin esahar, right? There's a din; we're not allowed to return it, even if I'm going to get beaten up. I'm not going to return it. What's the machlokas? So from the Pashas of the Gemara, it appears to be a question of Metzius. Then, how dangerous were these hooligans? Was it really a case of Pikuach Nefesh? They were Krovim Lamalchus. They could just, snuff out their lives. And then that was the Shisvara of Rav Yossi. Rav Dostoy felt that they were bluffing. Okay, Machokas with Metzius. However, the Meiri Alatar, I forgot to bring up the Meiri. The Meiri Alatar learned differently. No, I can say it by heart. It's okay. The Meiri Alatar learned differently. The Meiri Alatar understood that we have a machlokes in halacha. Those who learned Daf Yomi, so we're now in Perek Meruba, but we recently finished Perek Hakones, and over there on Daf Samach Amid Beis, there is a Gemara that discusses David HaMelech, who had a question to ask the Sanhedrin that were sitting in Beit Lechem. There were plishtim between David HaMelech and the Sanhedrin that were in Beit Lechem, and David HaMelech had soldiers who were Moser Nefesh for him to ask the question from the Sanhedrin, from the Be'er Mayim Chayim that was in Beit Lechem. So the Gemara asked, what question did David HaMelech have? So one day the Gemara is, that's why it's brought over here in Akones, is he had a question, what's a din in Tamun Be'esh? Do we pass in the Tamun Be'esh is Patur, like the Tanakama, or Taman Be'esh is Chayev, like Rav Yehuda. That's the whole sugi over there in Hakonis. Another understanding was the question had to do with the psukim that we were talking about over there, that it says, before it says, Vayisav edov ayorim yashkeni mayim yibor beis lechem asher bashar, vayifku shloshes hagiborim b'machan eplishtim yishvu mayim yibor beit lechem. This is all a mashal for asking the Sanhedrin and coming back with the answer. It deals over there, the psukim deal, with the Gedishim, that there was a Sada, and there was a battle in the Sada. And the Gemara explains as follows. Rav Huna Amar, Gedishim de Saorim de Yisrael Havu, that there was a field that was full of sheaves of Saorim that belonged to a Jew. Uvahave Mitmeru Plishtim Behu, the Plishtim were hiding behind those sheaves. The Kamiboyele Mahu Lahatzil Atzmo, the Mamon Chaveiro. Could they burn down the sheaves in order to expose the Plishtim, in order to save their lives? In order to win the battle, they would burn down the field that would belong to this Jew. And Tosus explains that it's not a question, are they allowed to save themselves by burning down the field? Certainly they're allowed to. Do they have to pay for the field? Do they have to pay for a field that they burn down to save themselves? Namely, am I allowed to be matzil et atzmi b'mamon chaveri? Or do we say, Oser lo adam lahatzil atzma mamon chaveri? He has to pay for the mamon. That was the question that David HaMelech asked, and the answer came from the Sanhedrin that really, Oser lo adam lahatzil atzma b'mamon chaveri? But you, David, you're a melech, melech paretz geder, in other words, you have the power of eminent domain, and therefore you have the power of being mafgir, anything that you want, and so you as a melech have the right to burn down the field without paying for it. But a hedyot would not be allowed to. So the Meiri says that this was the machlokes between Rav Dustoi and Rav Yossi. That Rav Dustoi felt, Aser lo adam lahatzil atzmo b'mamon chavero, that here they're holding on to an object. They can save themselves from being beaten up by returning the object to the person who gave it to them. But that would be matzil atzma b'mamon chavero. In other words, they would save themselves by being beaten up by giving it back. And he felt that this is not a proper thing to do, to save yourself by being beaten up by handing over someone else's property, based on the Gemara on Samchan Beis. And what Rav Dustoi argued with him, that you can't compare this to the case in the Gemara. In the case in the Gemara, the sheaves were not the cause. The sheaves were not the cause of the pikuach nefesh. The cause of the pikuach nefesh are the plishtim. The plishtim are the cause of the pikuach nefesh. One can save oneself by burning down the sheaves. That would be aser, to save yourself if you had not been a melech without paying for the sheaves. However, over here, this that we're talking about, this kli kesef that belonged to Rav Achi, this is causing the problem. This is creating the issue. Namely, over here, the mamon of the chaver is creating a situation of chabala, of pikuach nefesh. Then, if this is what's causing the problem, so Rav Dustoi, certainly we're allowed to give it back. And we're not dealing over here with this neutral property. The property is causing the problem. Nafkamina would be, let's say, for example, someone gives you his wallet to watch for him. And you're on the subway in New York, and then, you know, where it's some menacing creatures come towards you because they see the wallet sticking out of your pocket and ask for the wallet. Give us that wallet or we'll kill you. So according to Rav Dustoi, since this wallet is the cause of their wanting to kill you, you can give it to them. According to Rav Yossi, you can give it to them, but you have to pay for it because Oser la'adam lahatzil atzmo v'mamon chaveiro. I mean, Rav Dustoi didn't distinguish whether the mamon chaveiro is the cause of the sakana or whether the mamon chaveiro simply happens to be in the path of the sakana. Mashenka Rav Dustoi was the one who distinguished between the two, and the Gemara over here paskins like Rav Dustoi. Shapir avdis, that if the mamon of the chaver is the cause of the sakana, you're allowed to hand it over without paying for it. Yes?
If everyone holds that you're supposed to give it back, just as a question of whether you should pay for it or not, so why over here did Rabbi Yossi Bar Kippur not even give it back?
In other words, he didn't want to pay for it. He felt that if I gave it back, I'd have to pay for it. And so I'd rather suffer a few blows, but not have to pay for it. That was his cheshbon. But he felt that there was an iser to give it back. In other words, an iser to give it back, meaning that there would be consequences to giving it back. Chain Rav Dustoi said there's no consequences to giving it back. That's the cause of the problem. Like the Lord of the Rings. If the ring is the cause of the problem, so throw it away. You know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, say, well, I have this oath, etc. In other words, so you know, there's no reason for a person to put himself in a situation, pikuach nefesh, for something which is the cause of the problem. Yeah?
Is it in that wallet which the person saw both
bulging out should be given, or let's say somebody has another wallet. If that wallet wouldn't have been bulging, isn't that just give me a wallet you happen to have too, and you then therefore give that one, or can we give it?
That's down? You're asking a very good question. I don't have an answer. I hear the question. In other words, over here, the case is a clear-cut case where this silver vessel is the cause of the issue, and they want it back. In other words, if Rav Dustoy and Rav Yossi are willing to take achrayus, they want it back, and that's what's causing all the makos, that they want this back. Had it been this and something else, that would be a good question as to whether that would we view that as a prime cause. Yeah.
Could you say the makos here is whether matzah atzel mamu chaveru applies even to bodily harm, but not necessarily life threatening? Like Pinchas says, if everyone agrees that their life was endangered, so then what was Rav Yosef and Kibra thinking not giving it back? It would have been usher, like that would have just been stabbed.
The question is, how do you define pikuach nefesh? You're correct. In other words, you're correct. You have to come into the fact that they had a different assessment of the situation. But the question is the assessment of the situation, is that the source of the machlokas? Or do we have a halachic machlokas, which is also, you're correct, based on the assessment of the situation? I mean, you're 100% correct that had it been mamish pikuach nefesh, then, so what if you have to pay? It's b'chomod ma'odecha. You're putting your mammon above your life, and that's it's not very 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 halachic either. In other words, but aside from simply saying it's machlokas b'metzius, according to the Meiri, we also have over here machlokas in terms of the boundaries of asher lehatzel atzma mammon chaveiro. Let's assume that there's no pikuach nefesh, whether b'chol zot, in other words, one has an achrayus to undergo bodily harm if that object is the cause of the harm.
Okay, do we assume that an object can have the status of eroded? Is that like
that's parallel, yeah. That's, you're putting it in another term, in other terms, yeah. In other words, that this would override the din of Asr Lahatzel Asma b'mamon chaveiro. Okay, let's continue. Horech mano leploni v'horech ubiksho v'lo mitza'o. The person died. The receiver, the potential receiver, died. Tani chadu yachzur l'mishaleach, tani idach l'yorshe mishnish talchu. What's a machlokes? So the Gemara goes through various permutations. One of the permutations is lo kasha, ha bebari, ha bishchiv meira. Here we have a fascinating Rashi. What does Rashi say on ha bishchiv meira? Bishchiv meira, shekol zman shelo chazar bo, devarav kiksuvim ukemesurim. So far, that's a din of Shchimira. Divrei Shchimira, kiksuvim umilusurim. Then Rashi continues. V'holech didei zachihu. V'yitneim liyorshe mishnish talchu lo, sheharei zacha aviyan b'chayav. What, according to Rashi, is the mechanism of Shchimira, divrei Shchimira, kiksuvim umilusurim damu? How does it work? What's the mechanism, according to Rashi? Holech kisri. It's a din of holech kisri. Without necessarily handing over the object, simply saying, I want this to go to so-and-so, even if b'chala Torah kula, we don't say holech kisri in the world of Matana, right? That's the maskana of Rav Shimon Hanasi. In the world of Matana, we don't say holech kisri, b'chala Torah kula, by a bari, but by a shchimira, we say holech kisri. That's the mechanism of shchimira. That's the takana. The takana of shchimira is that holech didei kisri. Holech de kulei alma is rav kisri, if we're talking about a matana. However, by a shrimira, holech kisri. That's what Rashi says. Comes along the Ran in the Rif and says, that's absurd. Look in the Rif on daf vav amud beis, all the way on the bottom of the page. The Rif says as follows. Mashma miha, you have it, the last paragraph, in the Rif, on daf, in the Perek, on daf vav amid beis, mashma miha, the shchiv meira, afilu meis mekabel b'chayei hanosein, kanu hayorshim. Right, that the nosein said, I want to give it to so and so, even if that so and so died before the nosein died, we're going to give it over to the yorshim of the mekabel, and on that the Ran asks, two lines from the bottom, Avotama ani lama. Why should that be? Ha'kaimelon b'sof perak yesh nochlin, the matna shchimira lo chayala ela la'achar gemar misa. V'kevan de be'idna de chayala lesa l'mekabel, hech kana ha'en kinyan l'meis v'tzarech iyun. The Ran says that what Rashi is pointing out is wrong. Rashi says that the whole din of Divrei Shlemim HaKetuvim Mesuvim Dameh is based on Holech Kisri. Now, at what point in time is the Mekabel Zocha? At the time of the Amira of the Shlemira. So even if the Mekabel dies later on, it'll go to his Yorshim. But the Ran says it's not true. We have a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Matana of the Shlemira is only Chal after the Shlemira dies. After the Shlemira dies. And therefore, if the Mekabel died earlier, he's not around when the Shlemira dies. It shouldn't go to him. It shouldn't go to his Yarshim. What in the world is Rashi talking about that we have over here a din of Holech Kisri? We have the halacha is paskind. Matna Shlemira lo chayela elo la'achar gemar misa. Matna Shlemira is a totally different halacha. Normally we say that there's no kinyan la'achar misa. Here we have a unique takana that if a Shlemira said something and then he dies, after he dies, we have a kinyan from the Nosein to the Mekabel. Nothing to do with Holech Kisri. Look in Tosas over here in Daf Yudalad Amid Beis. Ha b'shlimira. Tosas is like, you know, the rabbi who was asked, who, you know, the famous story of a Rebbetzin listening in to the rabbi's conversations. Someone comes to the rabbi and gives his side of the argument, and the rabbi tells him, you're right. Then the other party comes in and gives his side to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, you're right. Then the Rebbetzin comes in and says, how can they both be right? The rabbi says, you're right too. That's what we have over here in Tosfos. Namely, the Tosfos over here brings Rashi and brings the Ran and says they're both right. That's what's going on. Ha b'shchimira omeri, af al gav demes mekabel b'chaye nosein, even if the mekabel dies before the nosein dies, A, and lo koni ela achar misas nosein, the Ran is correct. We have a Gemara Baba Basra that Divrei Shchimira is only kona after the misa of the nosein. Afilu hachi, even if the Mekabel died earlier, konu yorshim. The da'as ha-nosein hu, the cave on the yeshno le-Mekabel b'sh'as matan ma'os, that since the Mekabel was around at the time of the Amira, she'yizke ha-Mekabel achar misaso, ohu o yorshav. Afilu lo noldu yorshe Mekabel at achar misas ha-nosein, Kanu, afilu l'man damar mezakel uber lo kana. Why? The divrei shlimira kishemes kimesurin l'mekabel mishas nesinas hashlimira o amiraso. Everyone is right. Everyone's right. The if you want to know at what point in time do we have the kinyan, it's after the death of the shlimira. If we want to know what's the mechanism of the kinyan, it's the amira of the shlimira and holech kisri. How do those two go hand in hand? I mean, the Ran said, Tama Andi, how can this be possible? How can you hold that if the Mekabel dies before the Shlemira dies, that the Mekabel gets it? The Kinyan only takes place after the Shlemira dies. The Mekabel is no longer around in the world. Now, what do you have to distinguish over here between what and what? We have over here, simply halachically, Tzvei Dinim. What are the two Dinim that we're dealing over here? Wouldn't use the word tanai, but rather we have within a kinyan two questions that we have to ask. A, when is the maisa kinyan? And secondly, when is the chalosa kinyan? When is the maisa kinyan and when is the chalosa kinyan? The maisa kinyan is at what point? Divrei shlimira k'ksuvim k'sumim damu. That's a din of holech kisri. Rashi's talking about the maisa kinyan. The Ran is quoting Gemara, when is the Chalosa Kinyan? Only after the death of the Shlemira. There's no stira between the two. As long as the Mekabel was around at the time of the Maisa Kinyan, it's going to go to him or to his Yorshim at the time of the Chalosa Kinyan, even if he's not around, even if the Yorshim weren't even born. In other words, that's totally irrelevant. There's a difference between the Maisa and the Chalos. That's what Tosfos is pointing out. Namely, the Rashi seem to say that both the Maisa and the Chalos take place via Holech Kisri. That's a din of Holech Kisri. we not only have a maisa, we also have a chalos. The Ran assumed that just when the chalos occurs, that's when the maisa is, and therefore it shouldn't apply to anyone who died before that time. Tosos, who says you can have your cake and eat it, that you can have the din of the amira as being the maisa kinyan, and b'chol's that we could pass them like the Gemara and Baba Basra, because that's the chalos kinyan, we can have both. Okay, so we have over here, Rashi appears, at least on the surface, to be very uniform. The Ran says black and white, very uniform. Tosfos points out that we can have a distinction between the Maisa and the Chalos. Okay, so that's in terms of Divrei Shmirah, Kiksuvim Ukimesurim Dam. Then the Gemara just points out we have these three areas. By a bari, we have a din of Holech Kisri. And a machlokes, when it applies, when it doesn't apply. By a shlimira, we have a din of divrei shlimira kiksuvim esurim damu. And then we have a third din of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames, which applies even to a bari, who afterwards passes away. These are three separate takanot. Each of them has its own internal mechanism. Okay. However, when we're not sure which of these three apply, when we have a safek, so here we find in the Gemara a machlokes tanoim as to what should be the halacha. Chachamim orim, the first wide line, yachloku, mesafkaluhu, v'kan amru, shuda adif. That leaving aside those who paskin a clear halacha of holech kisli, of divrei shlimira kiksuvim esurim damu, of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames, we have those tanoim who were uncertain in terms of which of these may apply in a particular situation, and therefore went in two directions. One direction of yachloku, and one direction of shuda d'dayane. Rav Uchtenstein has a ma'arechet, when he begins, Baba Metzia, of putting everything on the table. What are the possibilities of halacha in a situation of Suffolk in Mamonos. So we have the concept of Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. We have the world of Yachloku. We have the world of Shuda de Dayane. We have the possibility of Kol de Olim Gvar. And we have Yehemunach Achiovo Eliyahu. These are the five options that we find in Chazal. And Tosfos on the Beis Amud Aleph in Bava Metzia try to make sense of these five options and begin to give rules under which conditions we use option X, option Y, option Z. Without going into all of the details, basically the criteria by which one determines it is, do we have a muchzak in the picture? Do we have no muchzak in the picture? Do we have two muchzakim in the picture? That's one criteria. Shnayim ochzid betalis. In other words, are they both muchzak or neither muchzak? Is one of them more muchzak? That's one criteria. A second criteria is it a milsa which is ika lemeka mala? In other words, is it something that if we wait enough time, we can figure out, namely that there is a way of cracking the case. There is a way of determining who is right and who is wrong. Then perhaps we would use the principle of Yehei Munach, or maybe even the principle of Kol Dolim Gavar, assuming that whoever is right would strive harder to get that which is coming to him. And then we have the question of what's called Drara de Mamona, which itself is a very, very vague term, either that the two parties have externally some relationship to this object, each of them is coming from a different perspective, but they both have a relationship to it, or drar de mamona means they each would tend to lose something if they wouldn't get it. And we're not dealing over here with a metzia, we're dealing over here with something which is in the world of mekach u'memkar, and they would both be losing if they would get it. Anyway, those are the criteria, just to put everything on the table, in general. The specific machlokes of yachloku, or shuda de dayane, is brought in the Gemara in Ksuvus, and Daf Tzadi Dala Namad Aleph, if we're dealing with a situation of Shtei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yom Echad. Namely, the two people come, that they each bought the Brooklyn Bridge, and each of them has a shtar which is dated Yud Aleph Ba'adar, and it's signed Purim Sameach. Right? Each of them paid for it. Each of them have a shtar that they bought it, and both shtaros are on the same day. So there we have machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Do we say in that situation Yachloku, or do we say Shuda de Dayane? Parallel to what we have over here, machlokes, whether we say Yachloku or Shuda de Dayane. What is unique about that case of Shtei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yom Echad, as opposed, let's say, to another case of Yachloku, a more classic case, where we have a case of Hamachlif Para B'Chamor? We have a situation of barter. I have a chamor, you have a para, and we want to make a barter. The para is in the agam, it's in the field, and I hand you my chamor, and at that moment, your para is coming to me. When we go out to the para, lo and behold, there's a calf next to the para. And it's unclear whether the calf was born before I gave over the chamor, or before I received the chamor, or only afterwards. Namely, was the para, was the barter on the para with the calf, or with the para without the calf? So there we have Sumchus saying Yachloku. What's the difference between the Yachloku in the case of Hamachlif Para B'Chamor and the Yachloku in the situation of Shtei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yom Echad? Sharper, yes?
It's clear in the case of Machlif Para B'Chamor that if we knew the information, we could be koveya when, who the owner of the calf should be.
Right, only one of them owns the calf. We have a question, who owns the calf? But only one of them owns the calf. Right, so there, what is the function of the Yachloku if only one of them owns the calf?
Minimum loss?
It's a pshara. It's a pshara. In other words, Beis Din is initiating a pshara. It's not the truth. It's definitely not the truth. Only one of them owns it. But since we don't know who owns it, so we'll give them each 50% as a pshara. Not, this is something that Beis Din is initiating. Beis Din could have initiated something else. Beis Din could have said, Kol Olam Gevar. Beis Din could have said, Hamotzim Yechaver Levara. In other words, Beis Din could have come up with a different solution. They decided to make a pshara because there's no way of knowing there's simply no way of ever knowing who is the real owner. So rather than have the Hatfields and the McCoys, Admea V'Esrim, they'll split the calf in half. Yachloku. However, in Shnei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yom Echad, who owns the Brooklyn Bridge? They both own the Brooklyn Bridge. They both have the exact same rights. It's not as though it's one or the other, and we don't know who is the real one. But rather, we have a situation where two people own the Brooklyn Bridge. In other words, over here, the Yachloku is what do you do when you have two people who own 100%? So in such a situation, there is a daya to say, Yachloku.
How do we know when this happened with the Brooklyn Bridge, which was first?
It doesn't make a difference which was first, because in the world of shtaros, a shtar that has a date, that's its chal at the end of that day. So both of them are chal at the end of the day. In Yerushalayim, they used to write sha'ot in a shtar. So then you'd be able to make a difference. But if you're not writing sha'ot in a shtar, that means both shtarot are chal, irrelevant which was written first. Doesn't make a difference which was written first. They're both chal on the same day, and therefore they both own it. That's a different sort of yachloku. Shuda de Dayane, is, it's sort of a contrast to yachloku. If yachloku is that I'm 100% sure that I'm 50% right, I'm 100% sure that I'm 50% right, Shuda de Dayane is I'm 50% sure that I'm 100% right. Namely, Shuda de Dayane, we're giving it to one party, but how do we know that's the right party or not? So in other words, in both of them, we have a 100% and a 50%. The question is it 100% that there's going to be 50%, or 50% is going to be 100%? That's the machlokes over here between Yachloku and Shuda de Dayane. Just to put Yachloku in context, look in Tosos and Shuda. So what's it called? Chamem Amrim Yachloku. Tosos over here quotes the famous sheet of the Gaonim. Kol Teku Shebishas Mefarish B'Sharim Derav Hai Gaon D'Cholkim. In other words, that Yachloku became the principle of the Gaonim to deal with the Safek B'Mamon. Any Safek B'Mamon that the Gemara doesn't give us a different way of dealing with, we're going to pask in Yachloku, similar to Sumchus. Mamon Amuta B'Safek Cholkim, that's the rule. However, Ein Nira Lari, the Balei HaTosfos, disagreed very strongly with the Gaonim. Elehecho De'eshechon B'Hedye Yachloku. Adarabo, Amrim, Uki Mamona B'Ches Kasmari. We don't pass in like Sumchus. We pask in Hamotzi Mechavero, Olav Haraya. Namely, the basic machlokas over here between Sumchus and Rabbanon, or if you want to, between the Gaonim and Chachmei Ashkenaz, was what power do we give to Cheskas Marikama? What koach does a previous standing have in halacha? To what degree create a psak, or simply be background material? In our Gemara, Chamim Yochloku, in our Gemara, we don't have a Cheskas Barikama. As we pointed out, if you don't have a Chazaka, then we can't say Motzi Mechavar of Haraya. In our Gemara, the Mishayach already gave it to the Shliach. It's no longer in the hands of the Mishayach. The previous status was already broken. It's now in the middle of nowhere. The Shliach is Nishtahin Nishtaher. He's not a Bailim. The question is, does it go to the previous Bailim or to the future Bailim? It's not Muchzak by anyone, and there's no longer the Marikama is no longer in the picture. That's where in our situation we have the Yachloku of the Chachamim. Kan Amru Shuda Adif, just to conclude, the next Tosfos deals with the Machlokes B'Shas between Rashi and Tosfos. I know of at least three places where it's brought, in Ksuvas, and in Kedushin, and over here in Gittin. What does Shuda the Dayane mean? What is Rashi's assumption? Shuda the Dayane?
They're trying to find proof.
From?
They try to ascertain that from evidence.
From real evidence? Right, and when tries to ascertain the das of an individual based on extraneous factors that wouldn't stand up in a court, that would be irrelevant to a court decision. And we're not dealing over here with the world of raya. We're dealing with a sense of what we call the omed hadat. We're dealing with a very, very subjective search to try and understand what was in the mind of the person when he said what he said, or when he did what he did. We're trying to reconstruct what was in his mind, but based on factors that wouldn't stand up in a court. That's Rashi's understanding. Rabbeinu Tam says that's baloney, that, you know, if something wouldn't stand up in a court, so it means it's an irrelevant factor. It had it been a relevant factor, it would have stood up in a court. And therefore, Shuda the Dayane, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is?
Arbitrary,
right. Whatever, you know, it's, if I woke up this morning and I like people who wear kippot on the back of their head, and one of the people coming in front of me has a kippot in front of their head, so I'll give it to the other fellow. Not because he's better or worse, etc. I can just make a decision because, again, 50% of the time I'll be 100% right. Yes?
How can Rabbi Tam say that? Isn't what Rashi is saying better than Rabbi Tam is saying?
Only if you understand in things from a non-halachic perspective. In other words, if something is not meaningful halachically, it's not meaningful.
Well, we have pshara.
Okay, but then, so yachloku is a pshara. Over here, shuda is not a pshara. Pshuda means we're giving it to a party. So if already you're not going to use a halachic factor, so just already be honest about the fact that you're just being arbitrary. Okay. Anyway, Mirtz Hashem, next year, Baba Basra, we will return to at least some of these factors in terms of Shuda, the Dayane, called Alam Gvar, Yehemunach, and Yachloku will remain in the realm of Bab Mitzia. Okay, that's what we have pretty much over here until the end of the Perek. I'd like to begin with you the next Perek. The first Amud is relatively a Chazara of what we saw in the first Perek, so that shouldn't be problem for you to prepare, but I'd like you to go until until the middle of Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, up to where it says Lozu afzu katane. Aptamar Rav Chisda. And over here we have a Tosfos, which is very, very seminal. The Tosfos and Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, Anihu Eit Sheni Pasul. See the Tosfos. See the Kasha of the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ran on Tosfos. And then see the Ktsos in Simon Mem Vav, Sifkatan Yud Chet. Mem Vav, Sifkatan Yud Chet. He gives a different answer to Tosfos' question, a different understanding of the Yerushalmi, but you don't have to necessarily stick with the Ktsos. You can continue on to the Nesivos. If the Ktsos is Yud Chet, I think the Nesivos is Sifkatan Yud Tet, who asks a question on the Ktsos. And then, to see another Perush that would have a different approach to the entire issue, if you look in the Taras Gittin, the Perush of the of Rav Yaakov Melissa, the Baal Nesivos, on Gittin, see the Taras Gittin on this Tosfos, you know, it's that basically we'll spend most of the shiur dealing with this Tosfos over here on Tesvav and Bet. But first we'll go through the Mishnah and the Gemara, Tesvav and Bet Aleph, but in terms of the Lamdus, really what we have over here is on Tesvav and Bet Beis. Okay. Next year will be. Let's have shiur next week, next Sunday. Okay. That way you'll be able to get into the parak. Seder. Okay. And did you begin the parak already, or did you begin now? Okay. So a week from today, we'll have shiur.
You said it. The Ramban also. The Ran, the Rashba, and
the Ramban. Yeah, but the Rashba is, I think, the easiest one to look at.